When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Bill Walton here, Celtics 1986. You're listening to the Causeway Street Podcast. Yeah, come here for nothing but the truth. This is where dreams come true. Thank you, Boston, for my life.
Back with another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. I am Joseph Pavone alongside Sean Ducha, Joel Pavone. We got Tatum in the lab with the Celtics legend. We got Tatum talking about becoming one of the Celtics Mount Rushmore, all right? But he knows what he needs to do in order to get in that conversation. As, of course, win a championship. But is this the kind of offseason that we've been looking for? Is this the offseason where we look to see if Tatum's going to take things to that type of level that we've never seen before? I don't know, guys. I want to know what you guys think, though. The Causeway Street Podcast, again, I am Josue Pavone. We also got Joel's, in case you missed it. We'll take our trip around the NBA. And whatever else these two clowns want to talk about. Because it is off season. We're still deep in the off season. Even though it's September, I still feel like we're so far from Celtics basketball that, you know, we're still in that speculation phase. And a lot of that has to do, in my opinion, with what we're seeing from Jason Tatum. Not only is Jason Tatum getting in the lab with Paul Pierce, with a legend, but he's also in the lab with his teammate in Jaylen Brown. We've never seen this before, guys. Is this something significant, though? Is this something that we think will translate into a championship? How are you two feeling about this?
Well, I feel like compared to a year ago when we saw him, we saw Tatum, I don't know, partying it up after the loss in the finals, and we saw a Jaylen that was more, you know, training, and but then versus Tatum, but a year later, we see I think a more serious Tatum. I mean, I think he's still enjoying his summer. Obviously, you know, he's still a young guy, and he's having a good times with his, with hanging out with his son, and to see him not just in the lab with his trainer, who he also shares with Joel Embiid, but to see him in the lab with a Celtics legend, and it's more like it's about time, right? You know, Paul Pierce has been on record in the past saying that like he doesn't want to feel like he's stepping on anybody's toes when he comes to talk to current Celtics players or this current Celtics roster. And he's even tried to like to convince like KG to come, you know, more often to, you know, share knowledge and wisdom, but to actually see it firsthand, the workouts and obviously the training. I mean, I think that speaks volumes, especially because Marcus Smart is no longer here. So I guess that plays more to, you know, Steven saying that Tatum and Brown are going to need to step up even more so with the leadership. And I think it's a good step in that direction.
I think that the workout with Paul Pierce is, I think there's other things that come with that about Tatum being invested in the Celtics, which I've believed firmly for a while. I think it dispels a little bit of those rumors that have been out there. But, like, I think the biggest thing that we're looking at is the fact that Jaylen Brown is now invested in being a Celtic for a very long time, which he got the contract, working out with Tatum. Like Sway said, it shouldn't be shocking to us to see these guys working out together. But it sort of is. Like, it's sort of like...
It feels like it's the first time we're actually seeing it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Which is great, and I think that, you know, maybe this, I don't know about the team roster. I don't know about the team's roster, and I don't know about, I have a lot of question marks, like we said last episode, about the roster and the construction, who we lost and who we bring back and the injury concerns and all that stuff. But if the Celtics are going to be anything that we think they're going to be this year, it's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown playing at a super high level. So, like, seeing them work out together and seeing them do things that, at least in the public eye, we haven't seen them do before, I think is a great sign for the Celtics team this year.
I don't.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
I mean, look, to me, and I'm with you, Sean. I mean, this is the first year, or I should say, this is one of those years where you go into the season thinking, like, is this a championship roster where you're not quite sure, but you're going to wait and see? And if it happens, you wouldn't be so shocked. But I'm with you. You're not, like, completely sold on it. However, you look at the starting five, you look at the projected starting five, top six, top seven players, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a better top five, top six, top seven in the Eastern Conference, right? Especially when you're thinking about Tatum and Brown. Like, which other team has two emerging all-stars like that? And I do say emerging because I still believe there's another level for these guys to reach. I mean, that's sort of the biggest reason why they're the favorites to win the championship, right? That's why, you know, you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference and you're like, oh, well, yeah, something's just still a favorite, but you're not quite... You know, you don't feel it in your gut that this is a championship team, but stuff like this helps. Like, stuff like this goes a long way, if you ask me, especially because you're talking about the two best players, and you're talking about guys who, again, they have another level. They're not, you know, in their 30s, right? They're still young, and you're waiting for them to make that significant leap and not only get back to the NBA Finals, but actually having a chance to win it all.
So. And not to say too much about, like, the Celtics, like, franchise and what that means and all that stuff, but like, yeah, like, you know, if you're gonna go a little bit above and beyond of what your amazing talents are, like, it doesn't hurt to just be like, yo, we're gonna do this for the Celtics, like, this is the winningest franchise in the history. Like, that's a nice little extra motivator for talent, like, talented superstars to live up to. Like, yo, if you're in Milwaukee right now, like, yo, we, maybe, I don't know, whatever. If you're in.
No, that's a great point. I was going to bring that up. That's so funny you say that. I'm thinking about what Giannis is saying, right? I'm thinking about how the situation in Miami looks. I'm thinking about what the situation in Philly looks like, right? I mean, if you're Boston, you got to look around and say, man, we don't have a whole lot of dysfunction here. Like, we're poised to not only make another deep playoff run, but we should definitely be the favorites to win the East. Right?
It feels like there's dysfunction only because of the Marcus Smart move. Because what's that going to mean for the team?
Yeah, but it's not the same kind of dysfunction.
But it's not. Yeah, exactly. Not the same kind.
I think there's no reason to expect that the Celtics, or at least Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, are not going to take it up a level. I don't think that's, no one's questioning that. I think it's more so their leadership, like, you know, trickling down from the top, right? There right now, they are the two longest tenured Celtics players right now on this roster, right? So,
damn.
So you have to look at it from the standpoint that, like, all right, they're setting the example. They're out and they're in the lab already. They've been in the lab all summer. They're going to take their leadership role more serious this year than they ever have. And like you said, Sean, like, being the longest tenured Celtic and bringing in a Celtic legend, Paul Pierce has always made himself available. He's always said that, like, yo, like, give me a call. Like, I'm happy to share anything you need that you need. And,
like, I'm not going to overstep here, but.
Yeah, but Tatum finally took advantage. And that's like, that's the first step into showing that he can be the leader that everybody wants him to be, essentially. He's not going to be, you know, I know we're going to talk about it throughout this episode, but he's had quotes in the past saying, like, I'm not a rah-rah guy. Like, that's not my, but I'm going to lead the way I want to lead. And I think that's a good way to start leading.
Right. And this is exactly what he told Jeff Goodman in that interview, right? The same interview where he talked about, you know, wanting to become, you know, one of the members of the Celtics, Mount Rushmore, one of the greatest of all time, knowing that it's going to take for him to win a championship to even be entered into that conversation. But I just love the fact that he's talking about the Celtics' legacy, right? He's not saying, I need to go out and get a championship. He's not saying, I need to go out and fulfill my legacy. You know what I mean? Like, look at what someone like Giannis is saying. Like, look, 4 years ago, what was the quote that stood out most from Giannis, right? Oh, some people, they see a wall, and, you know, they want to look for an easy way. They want to go and join another team with a perennial all-star. I see a wall. I want to go right through it. I love that from Giannis. And he did it, right? Wins the championship, beats Phoenix, shows everyone that he can do it. But then now he's questioning the head coach, right, situation. Adrian Griffin's coming in his first year. Giannis saying that he doesn't want to sign. This most recent podcast, he's saying, look, if I have a situation to win another trophy, I'm going to take it if it's not in Milwaukee. And I'm like, Giannis, what the fuck? 3 years ago, you would never say that.
And a few months ago, he considered the season not a failure, right? When yeah, they got knocked down the first round. He's all over the place right now.
Let me fill in the blanks for you, Giannis. Let me fill in the blanks. You never, in your wildest of dreams, pictured the Milwaukee Bucks being a first round knockout, right? So that was the first shock factor, right? That was the thing that put you over the edge. But then also, right? Oh, they didn't bring back your coach. They didn't bring back Budenholzer. Oh, boo hoo. Come on, man. You know that's not what it is, Giannis. It's the roster, man. You've been so hell bent on keeping the supporting cast and keeping everyone
intact
and knowing that you can just run it back over and over again. You'll eventually get back to the finals. And guess what? It's not working. Okay. The Boston Celtics became a better team. Philadelphia 76ers were a better team last year. The Miami Heat were a better team. And it wasn't just because of the quote unquote all-star pieces, right? It was the supporting cast. It was the unsigned free agents like, you know, Khalid Martin. And what's the point guard from Miami? The other
Vincent,
guy,
Vincent.
Gabe Vincent, right? It was those other guys. The Milwaukee Bucks never answered those questions. And now going into this season, I know y'all are looking at Boston being like, they got fucking Porzingis? He's like, man, like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't help but think or assume that he's scared. He's scared.
No, it's all good.
The conference looks like. And he's trying to say, oh, no, I'm putting all the pressure on this coach situation. I didn't ask for this guy to get fired. You know, you guys are making me trust Adrian Griffin. Well, I'm not quite sure. Giannis, I don't think it has to do with the coach. Yeah. I don't know if Budenholzer could come in here this season and bring you guys to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Wait, hold on. But you don't think his brothers, you don't think both of his brothers being signed, that's not going to put him over the top, Sway? Is that what you're telling me?
Nah, man.
With Jay Crowder?
Giannis wanted all his boys to come back to the squad. He didn't realize that his boys, they ain't that good. You know what I mean? You could have that same team intact for 2-3 years, but sooner or later, man, you got to shake things up.
You got to get better. And you know what? I think Giannis looked at it like, yo, if we get Middleton and Holiday, we're gonna win championships here. And then Middleton basically has no legs anymore, and Holiday's just getting older every single year. Like, he's not young anymore. Like, Holiday's probably got like two more legitimate.
I mean, don't get me wrong, he's still a beast, but you're right. It's another year. It's, you know, you got to fill in the pieces. I get it. Yeah. But
yo, Drew Holiday was a thorn in the side of fucking Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, bro. That's how old this guy is. Like, comparatively to the people in the NBA right now, he's getting to Chris Paul status very quickly. Like, he's getting up there. Like, that's going to be Drew Holiday in a minute. But I also disagree. I think that I would be pissed if I was fucking Giannis about the coaching decisions at Milwaukee, because there's plenty of coaches that have won that have championship pedigrees that are out there, and if you believe in the Milwaukee Bucks and like the way they're built as not a young franchise, as a contending franchise, why are you bringing a rookie head coach into this? Like, I would be a little bit pissed about that. Like, bring somebody in who has been in the playoffs before, that understands how to manage a rotation, how to just do those things in the playoffs that, you know, rookie coaches struggle with. It's like making those changes at halftime, making those lineup changes, understanding what has to be done when it needs to be done.
Adjustment.
You mean like Joe Mazzulla's first season?
good. Like Joe Mazzulla sucked at doing all that.
E-May's first season before that.
Nah, E-May was a little. He was better equipped, if you ask me.
No, but remember, no, like for half a season, there everyone was like, "Yo, this team looks like a 500 team." Though, but anyways.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, Giannis already won a championship. This team hasn't won a championship yet. So you're going from a guy that's won a championship with you, and I know Budenholzer wasn't the answer in Milwaukee, which is fine. But bring in the proverbial Phil Jackson to the Lakers. Like, bring the Pat Riley to the Knicks. Like, bring someone in there that can coach the fucking – bring Doc in. You think you would have been pissed if Doc got the job there? No, he would have been thrilled, man. Like,
I'm just so surprised that Giannis is talking about, like chasing championships. Like, since when has that been in his vocabulary? Like, if I have a better chance to win the Larry O'Brien trophy somewhere else, I'm going to take it. It's like, well, take it easy, bro.
You know what that is? Like, that's Jaylen Brown. That's Jaylen Brown re-signing, and all intents and purposes, Tatum re-signing. And he sees that as
the future.
But you know who should be talking like that? Like, you or I wouldn't be surprised if those words were coming out of their mouths is Joel Embiid. Like, Joel Embiid's been pretty quiet, right?
Yeah,
he hasn't won a championship at all. And like all these changes, like year after year, whether it's the coach or whether it's your roster, and does he feel like at any point right now, at least, is he any closer to the Larry O'Brien trophy? Like, I can understand if it was coming from him, but you know, Antetokounmpo, you're right.
Yeah,
but then you pivot to the Celtics, right? You pivot to what Tatum is saying right now. He's not saying I want to go out and win a championship and finally solidify my legacy. He's like, no, man, I'm trying to do this for Boston, and I love that from Tatum. This is the first time I've ever seen him, you know, talking this way about the Celtics legacy and about being, you know, having his name etched into and being one of the, you know, revered as one of the greatest Celtics of all time. Talking about Bill Russell, talking about, you know, Paul Pierce, Larry Bird. He wants to join those names. I mean, obviously, you win a championship, you crack the conversation. But for him to say that at this point, I love that. And I can't help but wonder if that's something that has been discussed with Paul, if that's a direct influence. And if it's not, I still think Paul has an influence on his Tatum one way or another, whether it's just knowing what that's like when the city is waiting for you to sort of claim your crown, you know what I mean? Like, as Paul was going through in 07, 08. You know, or just that constant criticism of like questioning Tatum. Are you the one? Do you have enough heart? Paul went through that for so many years in Boston before KG and Ray Allen came along, right? Like, we all remember that. So I love that. I love that this wasn't just they worked out for a weekend. They've been doing this on and off for about a month now. And you look at Tatum's stories, man, you see Paul in it, you know, every other week, or you see one of his trainers, or you see his photographer, you know, posting Pierce and Tatum together, man, like that's only gonna do good things for Tatum, man. And I think we're already seeing it.
On the flip side too, that I bet you Pierce is probably in his ear saying, like, yo, the city is there behind you. Like you just have to go and take it. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
He's the most popular athlete in Boston, I would say. Do you agree with that, Sean?
Easy. Right? The most popular athlete in Boston.
Easy. Everyone's rooting for him.
Everyone's rooting for him. And I think also, too, like, there's a lot to be said. I know. So, in managing people, like, top performers need stretch targets, bro. Like, if you're trying to have a stretch target to be the best, what better place to be than to look it up all the rafters and look at all the championships in Boston and be like, hey, like, you can be the best player in the NBA right now when LeBron's gone and when you know, Giannis is getting older and you got to – But, like, could you win more than Larry Bird? Could you win more than Pierce and Garnett? Could you win more than John Havlicek and Bill Russell? Like, could you win more than Tommy Heinsohn? I don't know. Can you? That's what's been done in this franchise. And if you are looking for a legit motivator to keep you to be the best, like, this is the place to do it. So, like, I love that. And also, too, like, we know Tatum is a Kobe guy, right? And who's the most competitive dude that Kobe said he played against time and time again is Paul Pierce. He's the most competitive dude that Kobe actually had respect for and all that stuff. So, like,
right. Who else could, like, talk about, like, the battles that he's had with Kobe more than Paul Pierce?
More than Paul Pierce.
There's no one else. Like, Chris Webber got owned. Like, Tim Duncan.
Paul took down the greats, man. He took down the greatest players of his era, if you really think about it. And Kobe and LeBron James. I mean, it was a young LeBron, but obviously we all know who he became, you know, throughout the NBA. And it was Paul that had to go through those battles in order for him to get that title. Yes.
Yeah, but there was at no point between the battle between LeBron and Pierce where Pierce was a favorite. Never. Pierce was always the underdog in those battles against LeBron, against Kobe. You know, for the most part, like all the battles of the greats. You know, even an up and coming fucking Dwayne Wade, he wasn't favorite against, you know, Paul Pierce. He had to keep proving that or reminding people, I should say, that yo, I'm a beast, and I can pass on this knowledge to the next core of Celtics
generation. Fuck it. Yeah, he beat Allen Iverson, yeah. Anybody in that genre that's looked upon as being
right after he won the East, came back against the Celtics, and Paul gave him a 46-piece.
Yo, he's like
extra spicy.
Listen, I really enjoyed your 50-piece against the 76ers, but like, let me tell you about AI, bro. When I played against AI in that series, bro, like, you know, like there's so many relatable things to like get with Paul Pierce. And I know that he's got a little bit of a reputation of whatever he's got going on right now, which is fine because he's retired. He should be living it up, like, fine.
Yeah, leave him alone, everybody. Leave Paul alone.
But he's still willing to fucking work with this crop right now of stars.
Right. You know what, Joel? He's still in the gym putting in work, all right?
For real.
All right, you guys can call him a degenerate if you want, gambling, drinking, you know, streaming, acting reckless, Paul, but he's still in the gym putting in that work.
I would never sway. No. But yeah, no, you're right.
He's putting in the work. He's putting in the work, and he's got the street cred, bro. He has more street cred than anybody else who's trying to help young people. You don't see, like, could you imagine if you saw, like, a report of, like, oh, Tatum's worked with Vince Carter? It'd be like, ooh, I don't know about that. You know what I mean?
it's like, really?
Tatum's working with Tracy McGrady. Oh, I don't really know if I like that too much, man. But, like, Tatum
worked with Paul Pierce. No knock to those dudes. But, yeah, you're right. Like, the person that he should be working with.
Paul Pierce is on a different level than those dudes, man. Yeah. Like,
he's got that feet work. Easily. You know, he got that feet work.
Easily.
Yeah. And you know, he's bringing that 2008 workout sesh to him every single time. He's not bringing that 2004 workout sesh where he's got Antoine Walker hanging around. No, he's bringing that, hey, this is how I won a championship. This is what I did to win a championship, motherfucker. So stay up. You know what I mean?
This is what KG had us all doing.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's working with KG.
Now, if there's any reports or any, you know, video out there of KG working with Robert Williams, now. That'd be some shit. Now we talking.
Something in a big year from Rob, man, for sure.
Yo, if Robert Williams went through one KG workout, he'd be injured for the rest of his career.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, I'm just happy we got footage of Rob in a gym in like June, July. Like that's unheard of. Like, he's usually on ice.
Yeah, man.
Rob, he's usually on ice. He's waiting until September to be like, I think I need surgery, guys.
No, August 15th is his surgery day.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I think I might need some surgery, guys. I'm sorry I waited until the end of summer to tell you guys.
I'm going to miss the first 3 months of the season. So
this knee's been bothering me for like 7 weeks. Really?
We fucking drafted him, and I remember all the reports was like, yeah, he's really good, but his knees, you know? Yeah, we've been having 7 years of conversations about his knees, bro. It's just insane.
We'll see if those knees translate in the NBA.
No, I just remember that media day. It's like, so why now? Why are you having surgery now? And he's like, oh no, you know, during my workouts and shit, you know, I was kind of feeling some, you know, some discomfort. And it's like, so you're telling me you just started working out like weeks, like two weeks or so before training camp. All right, gotcha. All right, cool. That's what's up.
You didn't step into a gym. Nice.
That makes sense why you didn't know.
Yeah. Okay. The NBA finals ended in June, but okay.
Right. Hey, how was Louisiana though?
Well, they got that bomb chicken, you know?
All right. Well, still plenty of time between now and training camp. So obviously we'll get the layers on Rob at that point, I guess. But I just think it's worth mentioning, man, what Tatum's doing right now. I want to see what it looks like when he actually has a chip on his shoulder, right? Like you guys said it perfectly, man. We never got that sense that he was down about the NBA Finals loss when he was taking pictures in all white and Draymond Green's wedding, being like, "Oh yeah, we lost in the finals, but yo, congrats, bro. These guys are my friends." Just like, yo,
cheers.
Did that loss really bother you? And then, you know, they give you the talk started, you know, they give you lip service, which you think that which you're supposed to say, you know, yeah, we're really mad about what happened last year. We want to build off of that. Like, yo, we believe that for like 2 weeks into the regular season before we realize, wait a minute, you guys were just happy to show up at the dance. Like, you guys were just like, man.
But we made
it. We made the first, you know, we took that first leap, and the rest is inevitable. And, of course, they found out last year that wasn't the case, right? All of a sudden, they found themselves down 3-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, and it was too little too late when it came down to Game 7. So, like.
To fucking Caleb Martin, yes.
You hope that you see a different Tatum in his demeanor, you know? But, again, like he said, he's not going to be KG. He's not going to scream and yell and get in people's faces, but whatever his version of that is, and whatever his version of carrying that chip on his shoulder is, we hope we see that this year, because I do think it goes a long way, you know?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of vocal Tatum anyways, I think, going forward. Yeah, he's not going to be, you know, KG in your face, but I think it's still going to be a somewhat different Tatum in a good way.
Yeah, could he be the Paul Pierce that Paul Pierce was for all those years, right?
You mean the
like not as intense as KG, but you know, still a leader. You know whose team it is, right?
Yeah.
Also, the other thing I was thinking of too is with this whole workout thing is like, you know, the Jaylen Brown thing can't be underslept, Ben. Like, Jaylen Brown's invested in the Celtics. He knows he's not getting traded. He knows he's here to stay. Like, that's slept on right now.
Yeah. He's like, you guys really do love me, huh? Word. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
The highest paid player in the NBA by the Celtics. When has that ever happened before?
And plus, you got to remember too, Sean. Everyone's going to be like, "Wait, this is the guy." You know what I mean? Like, Jalen's got to kind of have that chip on the shoulder. Like, hey, listen, man, I've been getting better year after year, and this is no different. Don't think just because I got all this money now, man.
I think elsewhere, in other markets, I think that would be the talk track. But I feel like everyone here gets it. Everyone here understands that this is the way the NBA works, and like this is how we needed to do to sign you. And we obviously want Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They are the Celtics. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are the Celtics going forward. So that's what it is.
Yeah, that's true. It's up to these guys, man. They gotta be the ones to guide everyone, man. You wonder how they do it as a cohesive unit, man. That's gonna be interesting. But no Marcus.
Very interesting.
All right, well, let's take a tour around the NBA. Let's get to Joel's in case you missed it, because there's a lot to get into, right?
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
Joel, what did we miss?
In case you missed it. I mean, we'd be lying here if we just pretend like it, you know, there hasn't been craziness going on right now and around the association. But we're going to start with Kevin Porter Jr., all right, who allegedly punched his girlfriend. The current WNBA free agent, Kaiser Gondrusic. He was arrested earlier this week. He allegedly punched her repeatedly in the face with a closed fist, cutting her above the right eye. Porter also forcibly squeezed her neck. There's reports out there that she has a fractured vertebrae in her neck. And that apparently he's been pretty abusive to her in the past. So this isn't like a, you know, first time thing when it comes to Kevin Porter Jr., according to police reports. Porter Jr. didn't stop assaulting his girlfriend until she ran out into a hallway covered in blood. This was in Manhattan. And according to the assistant Manhattan district attorney, Porter has a history of abuse, including an incident in which he rammed his car into his girlfriend's, among other things. So, he was a.
What do we think about Kevin?
I mean, he was arraigned. He was arraigned. He pled not guilty to felony assaults and strangulation charges. He was out on bail, $75,000 bail. He was also was ordered to stay away. So obviously there's a restraining order put in place. And the NBA now has stepped in. They're doing their investigation. And while the NBA is investigating, the Rockets can't conduct their own investigation, even though they put out a statement saying that they're still collecting information about all that's been reported. And all of a sudden now they're reportedly trying to trade him. So I don't know how that works.
That's a wild thing.
That's really wild, actually.
That's a wild thing that they thought, hey, don't worry, we'll just trade him. We'll just trade him.
Who is trying to trade for this dude right now? Like that's insane for them to even attempt.
Like, he's due back in court on the 16th of October. So, like, I don't know when training camp starts, but that's probably around that time. So I don't know. I don't know if they're even going to have him report to training camp while they try to trade him. There's also rumors out there that that the Rockets could just also waive him. But I mean, he just signed a new like 4-year extension. So I think the Rockets are just trying to get some value back from him. But like Sway just said, like who's going to trade for him? Who wants his headache right now?
You know who I think would trade, the one place that would trade for Kevin Porter is probably the Nets with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons for Kevin Porter. That's the only person I could think of who you would trade.
But like the Nets are trying to get rid of, they've been trying to get rid of headaches over the last couple years, and they're going to bring this dude in. How many times he's going to have to end up going to court or whatnot? And if he is found guilty, what's the punishment going to be like? Is he going to jail or is the NBA going to suspend him? So you're paying somebody who's not going to play for you, essentially.
No, that's Ben Simmons anyways, but,
because the NBA, they have their own policy when it comes to domestic violence. We know this.
How are you trying to find this? How are you trying to use this as a way to just throw shade at Ben Simmons? It was beyond.
Well, because at least Kevin Porter won't play because he's going to get suspended forever. He's probably never going to play again, which I think is a good thing, and he shouldn't because he's a fucking asshole. Like, but Ben Simmons, at least Kevin Porter wants to play basketball. You know what I mean? Like, I think you trade.
But you forget that he might not be able to play because of this.
He's also a fucking hothead. Like, clearly.
I mean, there's been so many things that have come out since the arrest. There's been so many, other situations that were kind of, swept under the rug, and everyone's just like, oh, so you're telling me the Rockets have just been fucking keeping this under wraps, and now that the Rockets can't really do anything in terms of disciplining him behind closed doors, now the NBA stepped in and it's just like, the NBA is going to do a full investigation, not just with this current case, but like other past shit that I don't know if NBA teams are they supposed to, when they suspend a player, do they have to tell the NBA? I don't know. Do you know that answer, Sway? When they discipline a player, does the NBA have to catch wind of it?
Yeah, they do. Well, they have to do the thorough investigation first. But yeah,
no, because the reason why I'm asking is if the NBA when they're obviously in the middle of their investigation, if they find out other things that the Rockets were essentially sweeping under the rug, then the NBA is going to be like, why all of a sudden now this is coming to light where y'all essentially have let him kind of behave this way and y'all really didn't do anything about it.
Yo, but here's my only thing. So I 1000% get that.
Emay's like, yo, we don't need this shit, man.
I know, right?
but if you're
I don't need this shit.
If you're the 76ers or the Nets right now, right? And you're looking to have to pay Ben Simmons $33 million or James Harden $33 million. Like, wouldn't you rather get a guy that could get suspended by the NBA and you don't have to pay that motherfucker versus them paying?
No, you still pay them. You just it's a certain amount. You're still paying them. It's not like
you don't have to. What if Kevin Porter Jr. gets fucking suspended by the NBA for life? NBA.
You're talking about the worst.
He's off your cap.
You're saying the worst, but again, these are just rumors that the Rockets are trying to trade him. Like, I don't know if that's even a possibility because of this, because the NBA is still trying to investigate. So I mean,
but what I'm saying, Joel, is like, yo, James Harden has basically said, I'm not playing for the 76ers. You're not going to get any trade value for that dude anyway. So you might as well get a dude that may come off your cap because he's so fucked up. Actually,
I'm going to get into that with the James Harden thing, the point that you're bringing up because of this other thing that's been put in place. But yeah, I'll get to that in a sec. When it comes
wouldn't you feel much better about if you're the 76ers to be like, hey, we traded James Harden for this piece of shit, and now we're suspending this dude forever, and we're never going to pay him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You'd feel much better about that, about just making an example out of him. But this dude's the biggest piece of crap in the NBA, man. Like, get this guy out of here, man. Like, the fact that not that it makes it worse, but like all of the stuff that the NBA has been trying to do to pump up the WNBA and make it a real league and like make sure that they like understand like, hey, like we're here for you. And then you have a guy in your league that's dating somebody and punches him. Like, yo, that's not cool. That's not cool at all, man.
Well, that's why the NBA is going to, you know, they're going to. This is going to be like, you know, an investigation that's going to go on. It's not going to take like a week. It's going to take some time before they come up with their punishment. And again, if he's found guilty in a court of law, because he's pled not guilty, but if he's found guilty, then that can be even worse for him when it comes to like some sort of discipline, right? Just to give you guys an idea of some of the things that have come out about Porter and his rage, I guess, if you want to fucking call it that. He just signed a 4-year, you know, extension. You know, last year he averaged, you know, 19 points, you know, 5 rebounds, whatever. But
yeah, he's an okay player.
But listen to this. In November of 2020, right, when he was playing with the Cavaliers, he was arrested after police found a loaded handgun in his car, right? And the reason why the police found it, because the car was involved in a crash. The case got dismissed because Porter claimed that he didn't know the gun was there. And in 2021, the NBA fined Porter $50K for violating the league's COVID-19 protocols by visiting a Miami strip club, right? And then in 2022, the Rockets suspended him for a game after, you know, then coach Steven Silas said that
R.I.P. Steven Silas, man.
He's still alive. He had
that dude was way over his head.
He had a spear
way over his head. He had no chance there, bro.
According to Silas, he was suspended because of a quote spirited debate and lost his temper during halftime of a game. That's, you know, and kind of in a nutshell. And then I saw something earlier today. It was rumored that he damaged a DJ's laptop during a team event 2 seasons back.
Hey, well, wasn't he on a different team before?
Yeah, he was on Cleveland before he went to.
Yeah. And Cleveland traded him for a bag of fucking balls, bro. They didn't trade him for shit.
So listen to this, right? According to this rumor that's out there or report about a team event 2 seasons back. Quote, they were out at a club apparently, and there was a disagreement, I guess, with the DJ in the club, and Porter Jr. took the laptop of said DJ and smashed it on the floor.
He said nobody wants to hear Drake no more, motherfucker.
Just completely destroyed it, started tearing the place up, and the Rockets immediately took him out of there. End quote. They were like, yo, my man, what are you doing?
Like, yo, can't you just, don't you know how to say, yo, can you play something different next time?
Yo, like seriously? Like, you're gonna, and there's going to be more stuff that's going to come out. Like, you know, as we're recording this, you know, this is.
Wait a minute, though. How is he not blackballed, man? Like, Jabari Bird, do you remember that? Like, when the detail of that incident came out, he was blackballed. He was immediately done.
Yo, the moment,
I understand why we're not seeing a similar thing with you.
The moment he was arraigned, it was like, I mean, but the Celtics were still able to trade him, though. Remember, they traded him for like second round draft pick or something like that before he was even found.
Yeah, that's true.
Guilty or not, so.
But he was done. He was waived after that. It was just like a, yeah, I don't crazy.
I think that the fact that the Rockets are trying to trade him is how many contracts in the NBA are garbage, and they're like, hey, we didn't think that this contract was garbage, but now we know, so give us an NBA player that can play, you know, versus somebody that's not going to, like Kevin Porter Jr. is not going to play in the NBA for a very long time. I would say 5 years at least, man. Like, and he'll be 30 at that point, so I don't know. But that's what you get for trading for a troubled star, man. He was a top 10 draft pick and got traded his rookie year to you for nothing. What do you expect?
Yeah. I don't know. Looking at some of the details of this, latest attack, it's like, wow. It's like,
no. The latest attack that I heard, I mean, he's a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
And the fact that, it's also like a thing that I thought was only Elliot Stabler doing, but they make the douchebags do the perp walk, bro. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was only Stabler that was like, nah, I'm bringing him out the front, you know?
Yeah.
On SVU.
They made sure that he was there, that he was seen. And in New York. New York don't play around.
Yeah. When they have a douchebag, when they have a piece of shit, they're like, no, this guy's getting seen by every camera.
Yeah. They're like, yo, here he is, everyone.
Yeah. Take it in. Take the pictures. Obviously, that's going to be an ongoing story between now and his next court date and so on before the NBA season even starts. So we should see. We will see how that plays out. All right. In case you missed it, the NBA Board of Governors, they've approved a new policy that a team is unable to rest star players in certain games for this upcoming NBA season. So essentially, we're talking about NBA load management, right? They approved the rule, and they're going to fine teams if star players sit during nationally televised games. A defined, quote, star player for this policy is if they have made an all-star team or an all-NBA team in the past 3 seasons. Right. So, and the fines will be as follows for each violation. First violation, the league will fine said team $100K. For a second violation, the NBA will fine said team $250K. And for a third violation, there will be a $1 million fine. And any additional violation is $1.225 million all the way up to $2.25 million. For the fourth, and et cetera, et cetera. What do we think of this new rule? The NBA can investigate if a player is available, and this will trigger, automatically if a star misses a national TV game, or and this also includes in-season tournament games. So,
yeah. I don't hate it.
If a team has, going forward, stars can't miss games like this, important games, but I think they're cracking down more on even teams that have, more than one star, obviously, i.e. the Celtics, i.e. The Clippers, that they're always, seems like it's, Paul George and Kawhi are always sitting out of games. That can't happen this season unless they don't give a damn and start paying for fines and whatnot. According to Adam Silver, if you're a healthy player in this league, the exception is that you're going to play. This is an acknowledgement that has gone too far a bit. End quote. So he just wants that shit to end. He's not going to shorten the season. Obviously, that was always a talking point of that the season's too long. They want players to be fresh for the playoffs. But, some of these national televised games or some of the bigger games, these players sit.
I think it's bullshit that they just did nationally televised games, because now that means that no one's playing against Charlotte. No one's playing against Magic. No one's playing against fucking anything that doesn't have national televised games.
Yeah, but you gotta remember though, the end season tournament, those like the reason, at least in my opinion, the reason why this end season tournament is happening is for these teams that don't get on national TV, they are gonna be on national TV, regardless of their record. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. All right. So it's basically just a way to make their end season tournament more worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the main point of the in-season tournament, I think, is for like the lower tier teams that never get or barely get any national TV love, they'll be looked at.
True.
Other leagues do that shit too. I mean, we talked about it, like MLS and all that shit, but it is what it is. You remember a game last year when the Celtics played against the Bucks? It was like Derek White and like the bench, or not even like the third string guys, and everyone else was out. And that was on TNT. It was a good game, but like this year, that can't happen unless the Celtics don't care about paying fines.
TNT was like, you're getting
a lot of fines in April. Like April games aren't going to get better.
Yeah, but I remember this game being in February. For some reason, it was just they decided to have all these guys out that particular game. I think it was also a second night of a back to back, so you know Al Horford obviously didn't play. So I don't know how that's going to work. Obviously, there are exceptions though. Talking about back to backs, if a team contacts the NBA at least a week before a back to back, they can seek approval for a star who is 35 years old or older and has either played that or has either played 34,000 regular season minutes.
Oh, fuck.
So going back to what you asked about James Harden, who says that he'll sit unless he's traded, I wonder how that affects, you know, the Sixers with this new rule if they don't trade him prior to the NBA season.
Yeah, you're right. He was an all-star last year. You never know.
All right. Last but not least, in case you missed it, USA Basketball failed to make it even to the finals. So, and they lost the third place game. So they finished fourth. No medal, no bronze, no nothing. And now you got a bunch of NBA superstars who have won gold in the past, such as LeBron, Anthony Davis, even Jason Tatum, talking about they want to throw their name in the hat for next year. They want to throw their hat in. Even Steph Curry, they want to throw their hat in for the 2024 Paris games, and guaranteeing that the USA basketball will prevail with the gold medal. To commit now, I don't know. It's a long NBA season for those that obviously want to go deep into the playoffs. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? How do you feel about this? Because you know, there's a lot.
I think LeBron James is full of shit. Because I think the thing is that
you think that's what it is. Like LeBron, like the one that started it. It's like, oh well, LeBron is, you know.
All right, fine. I don't care who started it, but he may have started it. But the problem is that every year, it always depends on what happens in the NBA season. Like no one's like if Steph Curry is a little hobbled, he's not going to the Olympics. If LeBron,
right, it's easy to say it now, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like I think it's kind of. It's kind of weird to kind of commit now.
Right.
I think it's too early. I mean, is Steve Kerr, is he still going to be the coach? I don't know.
It's too early. And Steve Kerr sucks as a coach. So,
I mean, according to Grant Hill, who is the executive director of USA Basketball, he said that this year's World Cup was not a requirement to be considered for the Olympic team next year in Paris. So there's
guys.
That.
Do you remember what it was? What it was? Tatum, Brown, Marcus Smart, and Bam Adebayo. Oh no, Bam didn't even make that team. It was Brook Lopez.
That was the FIBA World Cup in 2019, the last FIBA World Cup.
Yes, exactly, and they had the same problem. And you had rookie Jason Tatum leading the way with fucking Chris Middleton, I think, on that. No, wait. Middleton, was Drew Holiday on that team? I forget. There was one, like, Bucks player that was on that team. But, like.
I mean, the U.S. hasn't done well in the FIBA World Cup the last
no,
it's several.
No, because don't give a fuck about the FIBA World Cup, dude, except Dennis Schroeder.
Come on, man. It's fucked up, dude.
No one gives a fuck about the FIBA.
I mean,
yo, Dennis Schroeder was the happiest I've ever seen him in my life. He had
the best tournament. He was the best player in the tournament.
I mean, he got the MVP. He literally got the MVP.
Dylan Brooks played the game of his life for that bronze medal. What do you have? 39 points, like 7 3-pointers. Jeez.
Well,
Shea didn't even fucking play in that bronze medal game. He didn't give a fuck.
By the way, Dylan Brooks in the game before that. Didn't he get, like, ejected? I feel like that's the first player.
He got ejected.
In, like,
and then
a FIBA
Luka,
World Cup game to get ejected.
Luka and him both got ejected in the same game, and then everyone's like,
oh, yeah,
what
Luka
are
too.
We
I
watching?
Forgot. Yeah, yeah. He said, what are we watching here? Yeah.
Wasn't he like shadow boxing or something afterwards?
Yeah, yeah, he was all jacked up about it.
Yeah, no, I think there's some truth to what Juju says. I think the players are more interested in winning, you know, gold at an Olympics than winning in the FIBA World Cup. But this time around, because they finished in fourth, they don't have to qualify for the Olympics. I believe the last time they had to because they finished what, like seventh back in 2019. I don't know, but.
Finished seventh.
Yeah, with that Tatum. Yeah, man, with Tatum and all like
yeah, that team was terrible.
Kemba Walker, Kemba, it was like yeah, it was bad. It wasn't a good look at all. So, yeah, we shall see. It is what it is. Yeah, that's gonna do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Check us out on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up patreon.com/causeway for our Causeway After Hours. And also to hear Sway's 101 podcast. So exclusive content all under the Causeway After Hours umbrella. That's patreon.com/causeway.
Absolutely, man. Got a sit down with Peyton Pritchard. I'm going to be doing this weekend. So hopefully get that up by next week.
Hell yeah. There you go. P squared there. So yeah, look out
for that. He's got a lot to say about this upcoming season.
Oh, I imagine he does. I imagine he does. Also, yo, and you know, I don't say it often enough, but you know, also peep Sway on the Cedric Maxwell podcast and the Guardian Report. You know, we got training camp around the corner, and you know, we're all under the same, you know, CLNS umbrella here. So those two other podcasts are always a good listen. We're all one fam, one big fam, one happy fam.
Yes, sir.
And those should be a part of your Celtics podcast, you know, listen, also with Causeway Street podcast. So listen to those, all of us. And until next time, well, training camp is slowly approaching and we're all here for it, you know?
We got In Case You Missed It and a look ahead next episode.
Looking ahead. Wow.
Oh, really? Looking ahead, coming back.
Are you fucking, you previewing it, you know, you're dropping.
Oh. I'm looking ahead to looking ahead right now, bro.
You're looking ahead. Oh, yo, and I didn't say it last episode, but yo, shout out to you, Dutra, and to Sway. Y'all moved over the summer. You know, it was around the same time where, you know, I had my baby girl. So we all had big, important summers, yo. So shout out to you guys as well.
Yeah, man, it's a foundation for it should be a fun season, man, for sure. I'm really looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Tatum and Brown, let's go. That's all I care about. That's all I don't care about right now.
That's what the season's about. No, for real. Like that's a good way to put it. It's all about Tatum, bro. Really, what it is. What are you guys going to do with this franchise?
And I think that's the first time.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, I think that's really the first time that it's been about them, even though it's kind of always been about them over the last few seasons. But like now the focus is really going to be on them. So, yeah, that's going to be a good look. So stay tuned for that. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Coming at you.
Peace. Later, guys.